Now he's got the point, committing the question. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons approached him with her sons. She knelt down to ask him for something. "What do you want?" she asked her. "I promise," she said to him, "that these two sons of mine, they sit, one on your right and the other on your left, in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" "We are able," they said to him. He told them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right and left is not mine to give. Instead, it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 disciples heard this, they became indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them over and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." May the seed. Sunday we were looking at the previous verses in chapter 20, and we were looking at Jesus going to Jerusalem, and he's describing he's going to Jerusalem, and all these bad things are going to happen. And you might ask, why did he go to Jerusalem? If he knew all these bad things were going to happen to him. It's like, you know, if I go and do such and such a thing, like if I touch a hot iron, I'm going to get burned. I'm like, well, then don't touch the hard iron. You know, it's like the guy going to the doctor said, "Doctor, it hurts when I move my hand like that." "Then don't move your hand like that." Well, Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and he was telling them, as they're going to Jerusalem, what's about to happen. Now, it's not the first time he's told them. He's told them that he's going to die and rise again. He's told them that many times in chapter 12 and chapter 16 and chapter 17. He talked about that happening. And Jesus knows this is going to happen. And he pulls his disciples aside from the group he's walking with, and he explains what's going to happen. Now, just the phrase that he pulls them aside means they're with a larger group. Every year at the Passover time, all the Jewish people are supposed to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus, if you remember when he was his parents went, when he was 12, to Jerusalem. They were with a large group, and they had already traveled one day heading back home, and before they realized that he wasn't with them. And they went back and found Jesus sitting among the elders, discussing with them the truths of Scripture. And that was one of the situations of the annual trip up to Jerusalem, and Jesus pulls his disciples aside, and he says, "The Son of Man," which is a term he used for himself, "will be handed over to the chief priests, to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified, and on the third day, he'll be raised." Jesus is explaining all these things are going to happen. It's not going to be a surprise to Jesus. He knows what's going to happen. This is part of God's plan. But the disciples are going to be surprised. They did not listen to what Jesus is saying. They heard bits and pieces of it. Sort of like my hearing test today. I heard bits and pieces. You know, Last time I hear, had a hearing test, I remember maybe they needed a little button, but they didn't give me a button for this time. Just say yes when I heard the sound. No, I didn't say yes that much. And I know that they were probably doing sounds. And just, sometimes I thought maybe the technician, if they're that text message, do a sound. Oh, I forgot. I went back. But I'm sure the technician was diligently working, putting different sounds in it. Well, see if you can hear this one. And, well, the disciples heard the words, but they didn't accept them. And Jesus had told them about what was going to happen. They heard parts of the thing. And that leads us into tonight's message. They had heard, if you look at chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, in the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And so their mind sort of wanders. You know, if you ever seen the movie Up, many times the dogs see a squirrel. It doesn't matter what they're doing, so it's a squirrel, and it's just, they get distracted. Well, the disciples heard, "You're going to sit on a throne in the kingdom." All right. And they start, "Oh, that's going to be good. Which one's going to have the best seat? Which one's going to have the best throne?" Well, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, said, "Mom, can you ask Jesus a favor for us?" And so the three of them come to Jesus. Their mother bows down, and Jesus said, "What do you want?" Said, "These two sons of mine, aren't they cute?" "Yeah. They're so adorable. You know, they deserve a great place. Can you let them sit on your right and your left when you come to your kingdom? So they get the best thrones that there are." And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking." They didn't understand God's plan. They had heard the part about thrones and ignored everything that Jesus had been saying about being crucified and dying and rising again. And that's just background noise. We're going to be sitting on a throne. And so Jesus asked them, and Jesus uses the plural here, and says, "Are you, y'all, you two guys, are y'all able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" Now, he's talking about his persecution and his death. Are you able to do that? Yes, we are. They're still not understanding what they're going to have to go through. But Jesus is saying, "Yes, you will indeed drink from my cup." Both James and John were martyred. James' death is seen in Acts chapter 12, where King Herod had him executed. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But the disciples were following their plan, not God's plan, because Jesus said, "It's not for me to decide where you sit. It's my Father's plan." And so what do the other disciples do? They become mad. Now, they might become mad and say, "Why did we think about asking sinners right now? We're going to miss out on the best thrones." So like when I go to school in the morning, my car door opens real wide, so I want to get next to that handicapped parking spot that has the extra little get-out space, the little stripe lines where you're not supposed to park, and so that I can open my door to there and don't have to worry about somebody parking right next to me and not being able to get in the car, maybe have to roll down the window and then climb in that way. But the disciples were mad. They were indignant because of James and John's request. And Jesus pulls them aside and tells the disciples, you know, think about how the Gentiles do things. Their rulers don't rule very compassionately. And he could be referring to Caesar, who was the king of the Roman Empire. And if you didn't do the way he wanted you to do, you didn't live very long. And that his sub-leaders ruled over those below them with a very fierce and judgmental and lack of compassion. They could also be thinking back of the Antiochus Epiphanes, the leader in the Greek Empire before the Romans, who was so bad that he went in and defiled the temple and offered a sacrifice of a pig on God's altar in the temple in Jerusalem. There are other leaders in the world that they could be thinking about. But you say the Gentiles, think about them. Their leaders lord it over them. They're dictators. You do it their way. It shouldn't be that way with you. You need to be a servant. Stop acting like the Gentiles. You need to act like a servant. And Jesus says in verse 27, whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If we look in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, we see where John the Baptizer is talking about Jesus' sacrificial death. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We also see the reason for Christ's death, his sacrificial death as a ransom in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Jesus is now explaining to his disciples why he must die. He's told them four times before he's going to die. Now he says, I'm going to die as a ransom, as a payment for your sin debt, for the payment of many, the ransom of many. Our attitude needs to be different from that of the world. The world tells us to exalt ourselves, and Jesus says, to humble ourselves. Even our churches today are full of teachings about building yourself up. There are many people that claim the title of pastor that are writing books and teaching about you need to exalt yourself. I remember I haven't heard it as much lately. Build up your self-esteem. But we still see the effect of the teaching. Everybody needs to think better of themselves. Stop thinking of yourself less, but think of yourself more. And all we have to do is look at the generations around us. They think of themselves very highly. God talks about what happens when we think about ourselves too highly. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 4. The lamp that guides the wicked, haughty eyes, and an arrogant heart is sin. The prideful heart guides the wicked. Back up to chapter 16 in Proverbs, verse 5. Everyone with a proud heart is detestable to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. We also see more described in Proverbs 8:13, Romans 1:30, and let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possession is not from the Father, but is from the world. Scripture tells us to think of other people more highly than ourselves. We need to remember what Jesus is teaching his disciples here and teaching us is that we should not follow the world's teaching, but follow his teaching. The world says, build yourself up, ignore what God says, and do what the world says. And we see it when we look at actors and athletes. They are telling us how we should live. And people exalt them because they've been in the movie. They played in the Super Bowl or the World Series. We should not follow the teaching of the world, but follow the teaching of God. And Jesus tells us, humble yourself. Not build yourself up. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. What was Christ's example? He came to serve, not to be served. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. Without Jesus serving and giving his life as a payment, as a ransom for us, we would have no hope of entering heaven, because by his blood, we're forgiven. Sin may be forgiven. Dear Lord, thank you for this time to be here. I pray that we honor you with our lives, not seeking to exalt ourselves, but humbling ourselves before you. Lord, you tell us to humble ourselves, and you are the one that will exalt us. You are the one who will place us where you desire us to be. Let us focus on you and all you. Let us give you the glory and follow your example. In Jesus' name.
Amen.